Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, July the 26th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today. We've enjoyed that which we have studied in the past, and we know that you have more for us to learn. We ask now that you would continue to be with us and to guide us in the path of understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our subject today on July the 26th, 2021 is Origin, History, and Destiny of Satan. On the course, we're still studying from the Bible Readings for the Home Circle, published in 1889. The title again, Origin, History, and Destiny of Satan. Question. Have any others than the human family sinned? 2 Peter 2 and verse 4 says, God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. What is the name of the one who led the angels to sin? Matthew 25 and verse 41 says, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. By what other names is he known? Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9 says, And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And of course, you can also check Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, where he's called Lucifer. Question. Where was Satan's condition when created? What was Satan's condition when he was created? Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 15 says, Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. What description is given of him by the prophet Ezekiel? Notice that verses 12 through 14 of Ezekiel chapter 28 says, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Notice from this it is evident that Satan was a high and exalted angel before he fell, a masterpiece of wisdom and beauty. From the reverence to his tabrets and pipes, it seems probable that he was a chorister of heaven and led the angelic host in song. In the earthly sanctuary, the cherubims overshadowed the mercy seat. Now, what unholy, ambitious spirit took possession of Satan and led to his fall? Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14 says, For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the midst of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Did pride also contribute to his fall? Ezekiel 28 and verse 17 says, Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Question. What does Solomon say precedes destruction and a fall? Proverbs 16 and verse 18 says, Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. How does the prophet Isaiah describe Satan's fall? Isaiah 14 and verse 12 says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which disweaken the nations? Why was Satan cast from his high position? Ezekiel 28 and verse 16 says, By the multitude of thy merchandise, thou hast filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Question. When canst out of the mountain of God, to what place were Satan and his angels banished to be kept till the judgment? Let me ask that question again so that it is clearer. When he was cast out of the mountain of God, to what place was Satan and his angels banished to be kept till the judgment? 2 Peter 2 and verse 4 says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. So now when they were cast out, they were cast out into hell, waiting judgment." Now that's a pretty powerful statement there, and it describes exactly the result of all that Satan had done. And it's found in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. Notice this, we understand, is the darkness surrounding this world, and is symbolic of the darkness of utter hopelessness and despair in rebellion and sin. When Satan led man to sin, darkness was brought upon this world. But God did not leave man to hopelessness. In his mercy and great love, he caused the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to shine, to call men out of darkness into his marvelous light. That Satan and his angels who fell with him had a period of probation and opportunity, and the angels who fell with him had a period of probation and opportunity to repent, there can be no doubt. Their fate is the result of stubborn rebellion and persistence in sin, in spite of the overtures of mercy and the offers of pardon. For this, they were cast out of heaven. The wicked angels are kept in everlasting chains in darkness. Now that is very important for us to understand. God's mercy is consistent, and he did give Satan and his angels an opportunity to repent and explain their sorrow and ask God in humility for forgiveness. But they refused to do that, refused to accept it, refused to follow the path that God had laid out for them. Question, how is the conflict which took place in heaven between Christ and Satan described by the Revelator? Revelation chapter 12 verses 7 through 9 says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." In what terms did Christ refer to Satan's fall? Luke chapter 10 and verse 18 says, "And he said unto him, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Has Satan ever appeared before God since his fall? Job chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." When asked whence he came, what was Satan's reply? Job 1 and verse 7 says, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Notice that by tempting man to sin, Satan usurped man's dominion over the earth. This he now claims as his kingdom. Hence the temptation in offering he bring the kingdom of this world to Christ. He believes that it is now his. As the God and ruler of this world, Satan for 4,000 years before the crucifixion of Christ appeared before God among the representatives of other worlds as the representative of this world. After accomplishing the death of Christ, the Son of God, the sinless one, Satan was cast out of this council or assembly and has not been permitted to enter it since. This was his second fall, and the one doubtless to which Christ just before his crucifixion alluded when he said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." John 12 and verse 31. His final fall and destruction are still in the future. What has been the character of Satan since his fall? 1 John 3 and verse 8 says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning." Was he ever in this truth? John chapter 8 and verse 44 says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him." Notice that the expression "abode not in the truth" implies that Satan was once in the truth, but that he did not remain there. So question, what is the only beginning of which we have record? Genesis 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." What besides a murderer did Christ say Satan is? John 8 and verse 44 says, "When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." What did God tell Adam and Eve would be the result if they transgressed by partaking of the forbidden fruit? Genesis 2 and verse 17 says, "Thou shalt surely die." What did Satan say to Eve concerning this? Genesis 3 and verse 4 says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." This, as far as the record shows, was the first lie, a direct denial of the word of God. By persuading Eve to accept and believe it, Satan led our first parents to commit sin, and as the wages of sin is death, by it also he caused their death, and so became in reality the first murderer. A lie, therefore, is a twin brother to murder, and one of the most hateful things to God, the God of truth. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Proverbs 12 and verse 19. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. That's Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. Question, what has been the result of sin's entrance into the world? Notice that Romans 5 and verse 12 says, "By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." Notice what verse 19 says, "By one man disobedience, many were made sinners." And then when you look at 1 John 5 and verse 19, it says, "The whole world lieth in wickedness." And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22 says, "In Adam all die." Question, when Christ came to redeem man, what did Satan do? Mark 1 and verse 12 says, "And immediately the serpent driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan." Question, how severely was Christ tempted of Satan? Hebrews 4 and verse 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Revelation 12 and verse 13 says, "And when the dragon Satan saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, the church." The question for that text would be, what has the church suffered since the days of Christ? From the time that Satan was cast out, he persecuted the woman, has always persecuted the church. Many millions of the people of God have been put to death since the beginning of the Christian era under pagan and papal persecutions, all of which have been instigated by Satan. And that is something that Satan continues to do. Question, is the remnant church to feel his wrath? And why? Notice that in verse 17 of the same text that we've been reading before, Revelation chapter 12, says this, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. How will Satan deceive men in the last days?" Revelation 13 and verse 14 says, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast." Notice this, we understand, refers to spiritualistic manifestations and miracles to be wrought to fasten men in error and deception. Question: what will influence the nations to gather for the great battle of Armageddon? Revelation 16 and verse 14 says, "There are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." Question: why will men be allowed thus to fall under the delusions of Satan? Well, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12 says, "Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God has sent them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Question: for how long is Satan to be bound at the second advent? Revelation chapter 20 verses 1 and 2 says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. What is to take place at the close of 1,000 years? Revelation chapter 20 verses 7 and 8 says, "And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." Satan's ever career, his evil career, began in rebellion against God in heaven and ends in rebellion against him on earth. As Satan and his host compass the camp of the saints, what will take place? Verse 9 says, and that of course is verse 9 of Revelation chapter 20. Verse 9 says, "And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured him." What is to be Satan's final doom? Ezekiel chapter 28 verses 18 and 19 says, "I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be in a terror, and never shalt thou be any more." A gladsome thought. Satan's sin and sinners are finally to come to an end and be no more. Then clothed will have a clean universe. Question: why did Christ partake of our nature? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." Notice this question: what exhortations are given to Christians in view of Satan's hatred against God and all that is good? 1 Peter 5 verses 8 and 9 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith." And that is, of course, 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. And then James 4 and verse 7 says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." With what weapon did Christ successfully meet Satan's temptations? Matthew 4 verses 4 through 10 says, "The word of God, it is written, it is written, it is written," he kept saying over and over again. Notice, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. You'll find that in Ephesians 6 and verse 17. If Christ met and vanquished the enemy with this, so also may we. But no one can use it who is unfamiliar with it. How important then that we search, study, and know the scriptures. See first reading in this book, and you will learn from God that which you need to recall. The day God is preparing you again for the time to come and counseling you concerning that which you need so that you might stand against the temptations and the lies and the error that will pervade. Why not study the Word of God beginning today for yourselves? It is a wonderful opportunity that you have to listen to others speak, but it is more important for you to study for yourself, that your mind might absorb the truth that is therein. And when the time comes, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance all that you have studied. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings of study. We ask, Lord, that you would encourage us to study your word so that we might, after having studied it, absorb it in our minds and our hearts, that it might become a part of our being and therefore stand in our defense. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This has been Morning Manna, July the 26th, 2021.